our background there. Got that scripture there in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And I think it was last week, I think, just praying and asking, just as God has been speaking more and more about the reality of coming in His name and the meaning of that, and just the manifestation and the what's happens as we have faith in the name of Jesus. And it was strange because the Father spoke to me and He says, it took me to that scripture where that it's he who draws people to His Son. Without Him, it's impossible to come to His Son Jesus Christ. And then He said, now that Christ has arrived in your town, I can now draw people to Him. He's not drawing people to church. He's drawing people to Him. And that's why I've got this here. Jesus has come to our town because people are starting to believe that when two or three come in His name, He is there. He's here with us. And the verse before that is whatever two or three of you agree in my name, I will do it. And I trust today that there's more than two or three that agree that we've come together in the name of Jesus. We've come to worship in the name of Jesus. We have come to speak in the name of Jesus. And everything that we are doing, we're doing it in His name. And because we're doing it in His name, it's like Jesus is really here. His presence is here. He's here. And He's ministering to you and I. And so I pray that you will just be able to also just be open to receive whatever Jesus wants to impart into our lives. Because we take the scripture very real. It's a reality to us that our Lord Jesus is with us. So yes, so all those that are just joined, welcome. It's good as we continue on our awesome journey of experiencing the reality of the name of Christ, the person of Christ, and His power, His authority, and so forth. So, Father, we again come as Your family in the name of Jesus, and it's such an incredible joy to know that in Him, the reality of You, the reality of the Holy Spirit is all real to us. You are present, Father. So we want to thank You. We want to thank You that You're going to share with us, and we can celebrate Your life. We can come together and just enjoy being with You, Father, and appreciate and just value and honor this time where we can just truly just sit with You and listen and worship and just love You, Father. But particularly that we, because You are here, we may live in the reality of being loved by You in a tangible way today, as that and my Holy Spirit to impart that into particularly our soul dimension today, into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, for that refreshing, for that comfort, for that understanding, for whatever You're wanting to do, Lord, because You know us and we can't hide from You. And we want to thank You that You are the healer of our hearts. You give us truth. You deliver us from evil. And so we just accept and receive and are thankful and celebrate You with us to be able to help us because we need Your help. So thank You, Lord, as we just enjoy You and just love You and value what Your love for us, and just to hear what You're wanting to share that's going to help us in our journey here in this life. So we bless You for this and we give You the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. Great stuff. Oh, where do we start? There's so much. Ursula sent a scripture early on in the week, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it's a very important scripture because I think many will now be experiencing that that when when the Holy Spirit gives you a truth and opens up a truth concerning Jesus, you know, Jesus has, as we looked at last week, Jesus came and he has destroyed the works of Satan. And so when we now come in the name of Jesus, we're stepping into, by faith, into the reality of Christ has destroyed the works of Satan. Bottom line, okay? And so remember, faith is needed for this. And part of the weapons of God, the armor of God, is the shield of faith that distinguishes every single fiery arrow that the enemy is trying to get, because he wants us to go into doubt. And he wants to, in a sense, capture that faith with his so-called persuasion. And so you may find now that as you are now walking and beginning to practice and become conscious that when you pray in the name of Jesus, when you, whatever you do, whatever you say in his name, he is with you. And the enemy hates that. Okay. And so he will try everything to try and to block that from you, from living in that experience. But this prayer that Paul prays over here is such an incredible reality. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful. Okay, that's the bottom line here. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord. That's faith. That's that persuasion. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And so, yeah, first of all, I'm just going on a bit of a sideline at the moment here. But one of the things we see there when Paul speaks, even in Ephesians chapter 6, about the armor of God, our battle is not against flesh and blood, you will always see, wherever there's about the enemy, you will see the command, the instruction to pray. Even the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Okay, all the time you will see over there the instruction for us as believers to pray. And now that we are learning to pray in the name of Jesus, because we're understanding the name and the person cannot be separated there, what happens over there, that as you and I pray in the name of Jesus, the power of the demonic kingdom is weakened. Very important. So if we cease to pray for our communities, if we cease to pray for the people that God has placed us, and that that demonic power is pretty strong, and we have to come in the name of Jesus, and we will speak about that just now. We will come in the name of Jesus praying, and that, because of the authority of Jesus, because Jesus is now involved, he has overcome the works of Satan. And so because Jesus is involved, we're praying in his name, you start to see how the power of the kingdom of darkness is being weakened, and the kingdom of God begins to advance more and more. So don't stop praying for yourself. Don't stop praying for one another. Don't stop praying for your school, your work. Don't stop praying for your town, your city, where God has placed you over there, because the enemy is trying to hinder. The same with God's purpose in your life. And let me just go here quickly to chapter 1 in 2 Thessalonians. Look at this prayer that Paul prays. And this is a prayer that I think is a very important prayer for you and I. These guys are going through a bit of a persecution, trials, etc., etc. And here in verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your very desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is loaded, this scripture over here. But look at the reality of standing in grace. Look at the reality of coming and standing in what Christ has already done. Look at the reality of coming in his name. Now you're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit within us to enable us. God will enable us. He gives us a power to bring to completion the very desires that he's put in our heart. So your calling, your purpose, pray in the name of Jesus. Believe with all your heart that he's going to be doing this. It weakens the hindrance from the enemy that's trying to stop the plans, that's trying to stop the way forwards over there. Very, very important. Remember, we're in the kingdom of God, and there's the Antichrist. The demonic realm is anti the things of Christ and will try everything to oppose us. Okay, but we come in the name of Jesus, and there's the freedom, there's the joy, there's the victory. Everything is based in what Christ has already done. Christ has done what you and I could not have done. We could not destroy Satan. Christ did it for us. We enter into grace in Christ Jesus, and we now stand in what he has done for our futures, what he has done for our callings, what he has done for us in every area where it was humanly impossible for you and I to be able to do it there. That's the reality of grace. Okay, so stay in grace. Don't get into self-effort to try and do everything and try and work it out there. Stay in the grace of God. The works that come out of grace, those are the works of righteousness. Those are the works. And you know, when Paul writes about works there, and again in Romans, and when James writes, there's no contradiction. It's the same thing, exactly the same thing. Paul is speaking about to a religious community that if you do these works, if you keep the Ten Commandments fully without fault, you will now be declared righteous. And so it was a works-based, a trying in their own human strength to keep the Ten Commandments, to keep the law and that, but they kept on failing. And Paul's writing, but now there's a righteousness that comes from God, the good news, that a righteousness that is by faith that we receive. And so he's speaking about what Christ has done is simply receiving that. But Paul continues in Romans chapter 6 to speak about the works of faith. See, the works of faith is now we're no longer slave to sin. We're now slaves to righteousness. You see, that's the work. We are saying no. It's the action of us standing in the reality of what Christ has done. We now say no. You see, so our life and our behavior and our way forwards is demonstrating the works of faith, because we are renewing, we are applying the truth. And it's exactly the same with spiritual warfare and so forth over there. When Paul writes over there in Ephesians chapter 6 about to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, remember, it's Proverbs 18, I think verse 10, it says over there, be strong, the name of the Lord, remember that chorus, the name of the Lord is a mighty tower and the righteous run into it. The name of God, the name of Jesus is that strong, mighty, be strong in him. And we run into that, okay? He's our safe place for us. We hide in him, we're hidden in him. And that's so important for you and I over there. So this is important because, you know, and I was praying this for Charles, Audrey, as well, because he has implementation of vision. He has the implementation. It's in this grace of God coming in the name of Jesus that God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, that's his grace in action, by his power, he may bring to completion, to fulfillment, your very desire for goodness. Remember, it's God who works in us to act and to will according to his good pleasure. Okay? That's the same thing, just written differently over there. That now the power of God is enabling us to complete that which God has put in our hearts to be doing. That goodness, that's revealing the fruits of God, that goodness of God, And every deed that we are doing, prompted by faith. Remember, faith comes from hearing. So it's not just deeds for the sake of doing deeds. We've heard God speak to us, and now that's this deeds is the work. This is the works that James speaks about. These deeds that is coming from faith, that's the works that James speaks about. And so faith without works is dead. You've got to be doing the deeds to make the faith complete and to perfect that faith, in other words. And so here we see here in Paul's letter here to the church in Thessalonica, he's praying, and he goes on there that and goodness, and your very deed. See, we're involved with this step. We're involved in walking with God. We're involved with seeing what God's will being done through our lives. We're involved with this incredible good news of God. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Let's go back to a teaching we did some time back when John chapter 14, and then verse 12 and 13, Jesus is saying that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. And that's the motive. That's as you and I walk in the Spirit. Remember, walking in the Spirit, walking in the faith is exactly the same thing. If we are moaning, groaning, if we are full of bitterness and envy, there's no faith in us. Absolutely nothing. We're not walking in the Spirit. Okay. The fruit of faith, the works of faith, will be in all things giving thanks. Then we're walking in faith, because now that thanksgiving from the heart is the work of our faith in Christ Jesus, who he is. Okay. And so it's very practical. You know, whether I know when I'm walking in faith, I just got to listen to myself. And I know I'm walking in faith, I'm walking in the Spirit or not. Praying in the Spirit, people think just about praying in tongues. No, praying in the Spirit, praying in faith, praying in the name of Jesus is all the same thing, okay? And that you're praying in God is Spirit, Christ is Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit, okay? Faith enables us to have access into the spiritual realm, into the fullness of Jesus, into the fullness of Father, into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's praying in the Spirit, okay? And that includes tongues, by the way. But it's just far more than just speaking in tongues, okay? Because God is Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's faith. You're praying in faith. Faith gives us access into the Spirit. I'll give you the scripture there now. And so here we see over here, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. This is, Jesus says, it's to my Father's glory that you and I bear much fruit. And so he's showing us an incredible truth and stirring up our faith, increasing our faith in the name of Jesus, so that as we pray now, Father, because our heart, as we walk in the Spirit, our heart will be for the glory of God. That is why, as he spoke to me earlier on, I think it was last week or this week, I can't remember, but that's why he said, now I can bring people to Jesus. You see, because now the motive is for his glory. The motive is Jesus. A lot of us as ministers, we want to fill our churches. we want people to come to our church. Okay. But no, we want people to come to Jesus. You see, and so now the fivefold ministry, what's it all about, is to equip people so that Christ may be glorified in their lives. You see, so that we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, is for that to become a reality in each and every believer. Okay? And so it's not to build a physical church and in the mission of the church. It's this is it. Okay. And so I get focused on this and rather live a life that the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what we're talking about. Father to be glorified in our lives, through our lives, in the name of his Son, Jesus. So whatever we ask in the name, believe that we have received it. Okay. Believe that we have received it. Don't doubt in our hearts. Faith comes from hearing. We've heard God speak. We can ask in the name of Jesus because we're asking. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we know Jesus, the more we know what he wants to do. Okay. The guessing goes out of the window because we know his nature. We know his heart. We know the Father. And remember, Christ revealed the Father. Remember, when Jesus is ministering, he's ministering in the name of the Father. And so it was the Father healing the sick. It was God the Father feeding the multitude. It was God the Father casting out the demons. Jesus was doing it. The name of the Father cannot be separated from the ministry of Jesus because he was doing it in the name of the Father. But the Father, by the Holy Spirit, was being revealed. And Jesus came to reveal the Father. Okay. Now, as you and I have that same reality, we know when we now go in the name of Jesus, we are incredibly privileged now where the glory, where the name, where the Father can be made known through our lives, where Christ can be made known. Because by the Spirit, Jesus says, in my name, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. Okay? In my name. Pray in the name of Jesus. Okay? In my name, the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and the Father and I will come and make our dwelling within you. When we go and we're walking in the Spirit, okay, and we pray in the name of Jesus, the Father and the Son they're present, they're involved in people's lives. And so what's happening there? God is glorified in our lives. God is glorified through our lives. And that's what Paul is praying. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. What incredible, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot's been said over there, but finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Well, I want to share this because you may have experienced this very recently because of coming in the name of Jesus. Just say you're praying for somebody and you've taken, God has spoken to you, you're praying in the name of Jesus, and you can see Jesus ministering to that person. And the chains are coming off. It may be your spouse, it may be a family member, it may be someone at work, it doesn't matter. But you're praying on your heart and you're praying for that person. Okay. And now you're praying in the name of Jesus. Not long after that, you may experience all of a sudden that person will irritate you like crazy. Why? You see, because the enemy now wants to cancel that prayer of faith. And that's why Paul writes over there that do not give Satan a foothold. You see, he, for instance, offense. He wants us to become offended. So that person will irritate you like crazy, and it's easy to become offended. The moment we become offended, what's happening? We're not walking in the Spirit. We're not walking in faith. The enemy has now captured that prayer in a sense, and that prayer is weakened. That prayer is weakened. And that's why Peter writes there when he's speaking to husbands, and he says over there about loving your wife, etc., so that nothing hinders your prayers. See, there's a lot of stuff that hinders our prayers, so be careful that as you're praying in the name of Jesus, and you know you've tasted the victory, you've tasted the ministry of Jesus towards that person. Be aware that the enemy will try and get you to be offended so that you step out of faith. And that's why you need to have that perseverance faith. You need to have that stubborn faith right now. You need to be able to press through and to stand firm in Jesus. Just fellowship with him and experience his power that's enabling you, and continue just to not get caught in that trap of offense or that trap of doubt or that trap of whatever to try and to try and distinguish those fiery darts. Remember, faith is that fiery, with that shield that protects us over there. And so when we look at Romans chapter 5, remember the Lord's Prayer, and this may encourage some as well. Just before Jesus speaks there in Matthew chapter 6, he actually starts to give a background, and he's saying to the people that he's teaching, he's saying, you see, a lot of people are doing things so that everybody can see. But my Father, who sees that which is hidden, that which is done in from the heart, away from the view of people, will reward you. Then he carries on and he says, now, let's come to prayer. And he goes on and he says, now, in prayer, don't be like the others that babble and have a big performance so everybody knows they're praying, so now they receive their reward. And he goes on and he says, but my Father who is unseen sees what you're doing in your closet. Very important word this, very important truth. My Father who is unseen sees that which you are doing from your heart in faith and love, praying to him, and he will reward. In other words, he will. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Remember Mark 11 that we looked at last week? Have faith in God, and that context of speaking to the mountain. And he says over there, whatever you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be done for you. And then he carries on and he says over there, straight after that, he goes on and he says over there, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, forgive. Get that cleansed up over there, because that's a hindrance. That is blocking, that's Satan capturing the authority of that prayer, and there's no breakthrough in your life. So keep your heart free from offense, from unforgiveness, from negativeness, from all that over there. Rather come and rather, Lord, I need a word from you. I need to be able to appropriate the spiritual armor. Again, I'm just talking as God speaks. We have a different message this morning anyway. Remember, the spiritual armor, when Paul says, put on the armor of God, exactly what Jesus spoke about. When Jesus spoke about the wise and the foolish builders, there's no difference. You see, Jesus says that the wise person is he who hears God speak and applies it into their lives. That's what it means to put on. So what the truth the Spirit of God is revealing to you about Jesus, the armor is a revelation of Jesus. Clothe yourself in Christ. Whatever the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, put it on. Apply that. Walk in that truth. Okay. And then, so that's why the foolish one hears about all of this stuff, and the day of the enemy comes and dush, bang, crash, falling down, and you know, that kind of stuff over there. No. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, strong fortress. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Christ has destroyed the works of Satan. All authority has been given to Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Very important truths for us to be established in over there. And so in Romans chapter 5, and we've gone through this many times, but I need to emphasize it a little bit over here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, in that Matthew chapter 6, God who is unseen sees and rewards. God is spirit. So when Jesus now teaches us this, now our Father in heaven, our Father is spirit, it's a spiritual realm. He is spirit. Jesus is spirit. The Holy Spirit is spirit. Okay? We have been raised and seated with Christ in the spiritual realm. We are a new creation in Christ. It's a spiritual truth. We're dealing with the spiritual kingdom that you and I participated in. We're in this. Okay? And so we have to deal. We've got to operate, understand how to operate in the spirit realm. We've got to understand how to operate, how to live in the kingdom of God. Okay? It's spirit. That's why the spirit realm of the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that spiritual reality to become a reality in the natural. So we're having to learn the name of Jesus Christ is the person that this all comes through. But faith is what gives us access into the spiritual realm. So when we know by faith, our Father, you that sees the unseen, you reward. Whatever I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you said you will do it so that the Father is glorified. You see, that's a faith into a spiritual truth found in Jesus. We know, that's why receive. Don't doubt, believe that you have received it. That's the faith. That's the works of faith that James is speaking about and Paul is speaking about. There's that works. So now we receive it. So we will know as our thoughts are trying to run away, straight away we can capture those thoughts. That's the work of faith. The work of faith is to capture those thoughts and make it obedient to the truth. That's the work of faith. When anxiety and worry comes up into our hearts, the work of faith is, with all your prayers and requests presented to the Father with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will transcend you. That's the action. That's the works of faith. Okay. So it's not stopping by, wow, God, that's a wonderful scripture. It's applying it. It's the work. It's the action. It's putting on that truth. And then we've got over here, you see, so therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access, how? By faith into this grace. Can you see why the God faith is so, so incredibly, what an incredible gift? Faith comes from hearing God by the power of Jesus. May now the ears of our spiritual hearts be opened, the eyes of our spiritual hearts be opened, that we may hear and see and know the voice of God and recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so faith comes from hearing. So now we've got this incredible God faith. And that is why everything, the enemy will try and bring religious faith, demonic faith, you name it, human faith, everything. None of that has access into this grace. Only the God faith has access into this grace because it's through in Christ Jesus. Very, very important, because many believers are trying to get an answer based on a religious faith, but it's not, have they have not heard God, and there's this faith in Christ Jesus and so forth. So not only so, look, sorry, we gain access into this grace in which we now stand. This is the grace that you and I need. As we've been sharing earlier on, remember what grace is. It's God's love in action coming towards us through his son Jesus in every area where we could not have achieved it. So that's where the undeserved favor comes from over there. And so here in Christ Jesus, as you and I believe and stand in the name of Jesus, we're in the grace. We have now access into the fullness of all what who Christ is. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, in Christ, we have been enriched in every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the grace. That's the access by faith that you and I have in Christ Jesus. So all of those spiritual blessings in Christ, how do we receive? How do we walk in it? By faith. They now become our reality here in the natural. See, it's a faith reality. And that's why listening and hearing God speak. We mustn't get into the trap of just quickly reading the Bible, for instance. Rather, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. So we can hear God's voice. When you hear God's voice, now you know. Guys, listen to this. Let me just give you a scripture. As I said, time is gone already there. Let me just give you a scripture quickly. I'm going to share this later on in the morning service. Remember in Exodus chapter 3, Moses having the burning bush. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is your name?' And what shall I tell them?" I want you to see the importance of the name of God and the power of his name, the fullness of his name. Okay. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.'" What's Moses, God is saying? You see, Moses is going to now mention the name of God, the God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then he goes on, "This is my name, this I am who I am. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." That has not stopped. You see, because let's have a look. You know, when God said to Moses, "I am who I am," another translation, let me just show you over here. The word "I am" basically in Hebrew is it's the to be. And that's why another translation, you can have the same over there. "I will be what I will be. I will be what I will be." Very, very important. God will be who he will be. Okay, I'll tell you how this works now. So, for instance, we see Jesus. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. God will be who he will be. In the name of Jesus, God the Savior will manifest as Savior. You see, the name and the person, the name and the presence cannot be separated. So in the name of Jesus, you and I know God will be what that name is sharing. So God the healer, God will be what he will be. God has given us a revelation. He's speaking to you about God the healer. God will be the healer to you. Okay. Very, very important to understand the faith in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, and the incredible variety of names that God reveals to you and I. That name of God, Christ has brought us into the fullness of the name of God. Okay. And that's why, therefore, they called him Emmanuel, God with us. "I will be who I will be," what I will be. Okay. So how does this work? Every single time the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I and opens up a truth concerning Jesus Christ, opens up the word of God to you and I, that word is the word where God is saying, "I will be." That word you're hearing from me, "I will be. I will be what I will be. I am who I am." By faith now you receive that. And that's how you and I enter into the incredible, the fullness, what God has spoken, you and I are entering in, because God cannot be anything else. He is who he is. Okay. He cannot deny himself because he's righteous, he's holy, he's praise God. Okay. And that is full of assurance, full of confidence, full of hope. Faith can see that which is not yet seen in the natural, because faith enters into the spiritual realm and see. So can you see in Christ what he has done for you? Okay. What has the Holy Spirit been sharing? Look in your quiet times, in your journal, whatever it may be. What has he been sharing with you? Pray in the name of Jesus. Receive that by faith. God will be as he has spoken to you. That same word, "I am who I am," It's exactly the same in creation when God said, let that be. It's the same word. See, God spoke, it manifested, it came into being. I am, I will be, what I will be. So as he speaks by the Spirit, he will be the power of the faith in the name of Jesus. So have faith in God and his mighty power. Paul writes, in Acts there, when Peter speaks about in the name of Jesus, that this man was healed. And that's our journey now. So in our scripture name, there I am. The same word, there I am. There I am. There he is. What God has spoken to you and I as we've been spending this time, whatever the Spirit has spoken, God will be that to you. Okay? Receive it by faith. Take hold of that. Don't become offended. Don't give enemy access to try and capture that risk. Become stubborn. Become that stubbornness. Don't give in now. You press through God's power. You stand enabling you to become stubborn and to press through and not just to surrender and say, no, it's too hard. It's upon us all now to be able to go far, to break that barrier where we normally stopped. We can go through that barrier now because of God's grace and how the Holy Spirit is enabling us. So may, as we have communion this morning, just receive how he has revealed himself to you, the I am who I am. I will be what I will be to you, and receive it by faith.